Join the Wall Street Journal for the WSJ Risk and Compliance Forum happening online May 9th. Together with experts, we'll unpack the latest Russia sanctions, data privacy laws, climate risks, and more. You'll take away a playbook of practical advice that you can use and implement on day one. Register now at wsj.com/risk and save 20% on your ticket using code PODCAST.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, April 6th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Navigating the world of artificial intelligence can be tricky. Just ask the co-founder of OpenAI, Sam Altman. Since the release of ChatGPT last year, the company has been at the center of questions about the speed of AI development, the role of for-profits versus nonprofits, and the safety of AI technology. WSJ reporter Berber Jin spoke to Altman about these issues and more. He joins us later in the show. That's after these headlines. Activision Blizzard has proposed a settlement to the Department of Justice's antitrust lawsuit against it. As we told you yesterday, Activision is being sued over concerns about pay in its esports leagues. The DOJ alleges the video game publisher imposed rules that limit competition and suppress wages for players in two of its professional leagues. The DOJ is reviewing the proposal, which will undergo a period of public comment and court review before it's finalized. NPR has criticized Twitter for labeling its account a state-affiliated media. The independent public broadcaster said Wednesday the label was disturbing and unacceptable. Twitter's guidelines say the platform adds the designation to government-controlled news sources. Russia's RT network and China's Xinhua news agency have the state-affiliated media label. On its website, NPR says less than 1% of its budget comes from federal grants, and that most of its revenue comes from corporate sponsorship, dues, and fees paid by its member stations. Twitter responded to an email request for comment with a poop emoji. Stellantis and BMW are in talks with Panasonic to build electric vehicle battery plants in North America. That's according to people familiar with the discussions. Japan-based Panasonic specializes in cylindrical batteries, which resemble oversized versions of AA batteries. Over the past decade, Panasonic has churned out billions of these cylindrical cells for Tesla, its main car-making customer. And speaking of EV batteries, lithium prices are down. The metal is a key ingredient in EV batteries, and the price drop could mean cheaper vehicles on the horizon. Prices for lithium have fallen more than 30% this year, according to Benchmark Mineral Intelligence, due to slowing demand for EVs, particularly in China, as well as volatile markets that are making traders cautious. Prices for other metals that go into batteries, such as cobalt and nickel, are also sliding. Okay, developing AI based on large language models is expensive. After the break, we'll hear how it led to a split between OpenAI's co-founders and also some of its former employees. We're back in a moment.
Buying a home is one of the biggest financial moves you might ever make. And finding a place right now comes with all sorts of challenges. Interest rates are trending higher, but buyer competition hasn't gotten much easier. So what do you need to know to buy a home in spring 2023? The Wall Street Journal's Your Money Briefing podcast is breaking it all down in a special weekly series, Under Contract, Your Guide to Home Buying. We've got personal finance and housing experts on getting the best rate, avoiding common mistakes, and a whole lot more. Just search for WSJ Your Money Briefing wherever you listen to podcasts.
Sam Altman is the 37-year-old co-founder of OpenAI, the startup behind ChatGPT and DALL-E. He's been a figure in Silicon Valley for years as a founder and an investor. But now, Altman is at the center of one of the fastest developing technologies that's raising both excitement and concern. WSJ reporter Berber Jin spoke to Altman about OpenAI and how he's balancing business concerns. And Berber joins me now. Hey, Berber. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Zoe.
Can you give us a little background on Sam Altman? Who was he before OpenAI?
He's a very Silicon Valley type of figure. He's almost a bit of a celebrity. And it's because he ran this startup accelerator called Y Combinator, which essentially accepts mostly college students who are applying to create companies. They want to create the next Dropbox. They want to create the next Uber. And then before that, he dropped out of Stanford to create a social networking startup called Looped, which wasn't very successful. It actually sold for close to the amount of money that investors put into the company.
How did he come to co-found OpenAI?
Around 2014, 2015, that was a time when a lot of people in Silicon Valley, including Elon Musk, were growing very concerned about the sort of dystopian potential of AI. And I think Sam shared in the concern of AI's misuse. He worked at an AI lab in college. He had always been fascinated by computers as a kid. And I think he's a bit different from other startup founders. He cares a lot about sort of frontier technology, nuclear fusion, human longevity. AI sort of fit into that bucket of really advanced technology that he wanted to develop. And so in 2015, he decided to co-found this nonprofit called OpenAI, primarily alongside Elon Musk.
When OpenAI started, it was this nonprofit. Now it has a for-profit wing to it. Can you tell us a little bit about that shift and why it was made?
You know, according to the OpenAI co-founders, what they realized in 2017, 2 years after the lab started, was that the best way to make progress in AI was through large language models, which is the technology underpinning ChatGPT. It's these advanced AI algorithms that can become smarter by reading billions of pages of human text and then sort of mimicking human responses based off pattern recognition to different questions that a human asks them. So that type of training requires a lot of computational power because you're sort of running the algorithm on billions of pages of text on the internet. And so OpenAI realized that they wouldn't be able to raise that much money as a nonprofit. They wanted to be able to attract investors who wanted to make a return on their investment in OpenAI. And so the only way to do that was to create a for-profit.
How has that decision to create a for-profit arm been perceived by people inside and outside of OpenAI?
It was incredibly controversial, and Sam alienated a lot of people that he worked closely with because OpenAI's mission was always to develop artificial intelligence outside the influence of shareholders. The two people he's really alienated, the first is Elon Musk. He was a co-founder in the company. He didn't like the decision to turn it into a for-profit. He wanted more control in 2018. He was essentially rebuffed. And in the past few months after the release of ChatGPT, he's been really vocal on Twitter and privately about the new deal that OpenAI has done with Microsoft, the $10 billion investment, which of course is enabled by the decision to become a for-profit. And he's criticized the degree of corporate influence that OpenAI has come under. They're selling their models to companies like Snapchat and Instacart. They're licensing their technology to Microsoft. So those decisions have come under fire. He's also alienated a lot of safety researchers who worked at OpenAI over the years, namely Dario Amade, who was the lead safety researcher. He left in 2021 with several other OpenAI researchers to found a rival AI lab called Anthropic, which focuses more on the safety side of AI research.
What did Altman say about the Microsoft deal in particular?
Sam sort of frames it as something that he almost had no choice but to do, again, given the large computational costs associated with developing large language models. He emphasizes that it's not a typical corporate partnership, right? OpenAI has the right to cancel Microsoft's shares at any time if they think the partnership has gone astray or if it started to develop dangerous technologies or if another organization developed powerful AI and OpenAI wanted to assist them instead of competing with them. And he emphasizes as well that there are profit caps to Microsoft's investment. So Microsoft can't make more than 7 times the total amount of money they've invested. That's still a very large profit cap, considering they invested $13 billion. But, you know, it is unusual for an investor to have their profits capped in that way.
What is his take on the idea of having global standards or a global governance to oversee AI?
So he was a bit vague about this. Over time, he wants the executive team at OpenAI to have less control over the technology. He wants to give everyday citizens a say in the technology. Again, he wasn't very specific about it. It's clear he's thought about it. And he wants to engage different stakeholders along the way. He didn't go into specifics about what that would look like, but he's been saying it for years. I mean, he said it in 2016, so I guess we'll see.
So how is OpenAI dealing with concerns about the risks of this technology?
Their philosophy is that it's better to put some of this technology into the world and allow people to become familiar with it, play around with it, and then also for OpenAI to gather feedback on the way in which those releases can be further refined to make it more aligned with human values.
So what comes next for OpenAI and for Altman?
Yeah, so they just released GPT-4, which is the most powerful language model that they've released. So the next step is GPT-5. Sam is also thinking a lot about that global governance aspect. So I think we can expect to see also some more like concerted political efforts by OpenAI to try and shape policies around like regulation at the government level.
So a lot more to potentially watch with Sam Altman. That's WSJ reporter Berber Jin. Thanks for joining us, Berber.
It's a pleasure as always.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.